So what we're doing is that we provide a roof, we provide food, we provide a place that their children can be in. We help them with the school fees for the children when that's the case. We give them coaching, and we hope that within that 12-month period, they can actually become Kenyan commercial runners, either again or for the first time.
How did you get into running?
I think I've always had running in me, but I really only started running when I turned 50.
That's interesting.
I decided with a friend to do the London Marathon as a silly challenge, really.
Yeah.
But it was also because I was the godfather of the friend's son, and the son had had leukemia and had recovered from it.
Yeah.
So we ran for children with leukemia and the London Marathon.
And you didn't run before, and you just started running a marathon, or did you train properly? How did
so
it
for that marathon, I thought I had trained properly because I gave myself 3 months to get ready.
Ooh.
And I ran a good time, 3:33. So that's, you know, for
that's
first
really
marathon
good.
At 50, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
But I got injured at the end because my body wasn't strong enough, and my back went to pieces about 2-3 weeks later. So, you know, when I turned 50. And then, you know, I was probably getting a bit too fond of my glass of wine, putting on a bit of weight, not doing enough exercise, and getting into running kind of gave me an opportunity to choose to change my life.
Yeah.
And I tried to build on that and try to keep my, you know, marathon, half marathon running going while I was working. And then later on, I made it into my life.
Yeah. How does a training regime, like a week, look for you in the moment?
What I try to do is get 60 kilometers a week, and I try to get 2 fitness sessions in, one with the coach, that's a tough session,
yeah.
And then another one that I can do myself at home. You know, that's the basis. When you get a bit older, your body can only take so much, so
yeah.
Avoiding injury is the number one priority, because as soon as you get injured, you lose the benefit of what you've done in the past, and it takes a lot of time to get going again.
Yeah. And what does running represent for you as a person?
So I think running in general is really, really good for mental health. I think it's good for your physical well-being. And the combination of those two just make me feel that I'm in a better place. I'm probably a better person. It also helps me to think about what I eat, what I drink, how much sleep I get. And I think that I have much fewer mood swings now that I kind of get into a permanent mode of always paying attention to try to keep my health and running going in a good way.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing. When you have a vision, when you have something you strive for, especially when it is health related or exercise related, then everything else falls into place because you zoom into specific things.
Exactly. Yes. So, you know, going out till 4 o'clock in the morning and dancing and drinking might be fun in the moment, but I know that the punishment of recuperating from that is going to be so big, so maybe I'll go home at 1 o'clock in the morning.
So you live in Switzerland. Are you as well doing mountain runs or more mainly flat?
Yeah, so I've switched to doing both. I do road during the first part of the year up until May, June. And then I switch to trail running for July, August, maybe September as well. And then I go back to road running for the latter part.
Yeah. So you mentioned when we talked last time, you have been in Kenya. What was the first time you have been in Kenya, and how did you end up in Kenya, in Eton?
So the first time I was in Kenya was when I stopped working. And this friend called me up and said, come and run a marathon with me. It's in a game park in the middle of nowhere in Kenya. We'll do camping at the same time.
Okay.
I said, okay, yeah. And we went up and did this Lewa marathon. It was in a game park. But the story I like to tell is that it was actually 2 times round a circuit. And there were 1,500 participants. They couldn't have more because the game park just didn't allow it.
Yeah.
Of the 1,500 people, only 150 people did the second one. And that meant that for really long periods of time, you were running on your own in the middle of a game park with animals all over the place in Africa. So you got the double excitement of running a marathon and then maybe being the next animal's meal as well. So it was fun.
Tell me about Eton. I've heard that it's somehow a very special place for runners, but what is it about Eton?
Well, you can't really experience Eton without actually going to it. When you get into Eton, you know, it's a big village, a little town, then you're met by an arch that says the home of champions. And initially you're a bit dubious, and I think that's a little bit cocky. Yeah. And then you realize that this is where all the champions are. The East African runners, the Kenyan runners, all congregate there. But you have a huge number of international runners that come and train there. The speciality of Eton is that it's at 2,400 meters, so you're running with a much lower level of oxygen, which for training purposes makes it tough, but then you get the benefit when you come down. And then what the speciality is in Kenya is that you run together, so you challenge yourself to run. And you're running on dirt tracks, you're running on road, you know, it's not easy running in the way that you do it. And the day starts at 6 o'clock in the morning. You get out of bed, you get up to Jogo or where the arch is, and you meet with your running team, and off you go. When you come back, then you you know, have some breakfast and you rest. And then you'll probably go out again at 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon and do what they call an easy, you know, 10-kilometer run just to complete the day. And that's a bit the life of the runners. But Eton is a it's just difficult to describe. Let's go.
How did this inspire you to create a company that is working with running?
It's a lot of different pieces that came together over time. You know, I went to Kenya first time, I went to Kenya second time. The second time I went into one of these high altitude training camps up in Eton. I started to meet a lot of people. I started to understand the benefits of running at altitude. You know, when we finished that first camp, we wanted to go back again. And by this time, I'd actually linked up with my friend Peter, who is a Kenyan who runs with me and participates in everything that I do in the Braveheart context. And the third time that we went back was actually during COVID. And when we went back during COVID, we met all of these really, really depressed athletes, because for an African runner, if you don't have races, you have no income. And so that was when, you know, kind of triggered to say, these are good people, they've got a fantastic talent. Let's see if we can help them a little bit by bringing them some benefits to be able to keep running, even if the times are really tough.
Tell me about Braveheart. What is Braveheart?
Actually, Braveheart was the theme of my 50th birthday party for charity money raising for my London Marathon. But then I created this company called Braveheart Coaching, which is a Swiss company, and kind of Braveheart stuck with me. And the company was created in 2011, but we started the whole Braveheart adventure really in 2022. And that's why we called it Braveheart Runners. We think that, you know, the combination of brave and heart links up well. And then when you say Braveheart, you still have this image of Mel Gibson, you know, slaughtering people during the film and getting dressed up in his fancy Scottish warrior clothes.
I love that. So Braveheart is a company that is working with running, is coaching running. Tell me
so
more.
So the name of the company is Braveheart Coaching. And really all that it does is bring the financing together for the projects that take place in Kenya.
Okay.
Now the company is not the focus of what we're doing.
Yeah.
What we've then done, we had our first project that really kicked off in 2022. We got the fantastic benefit of having a sports equipment company called Scott, who have supported us since the beginning. And we created this 10 people running team, five women, five men. We always make sure that we have a proper gender balance in everything that we do. And for that first year, then we, you know, ran some races in Kenya, we ran some races in Switzerland, we did some trail running, we went back to Italy and I ran again. And so we found out who we were. And then 2023, we just improved on everything that we had done in 2022 and became a bit more professional, a bit faster in the way that we were actually building up our running activities. But what that project has done has given us experience, And now what we feel that we're able to do is to add new projects on. So in 2024, we will add a new project called Achille Heart. Heart is always in the name of all of the projects that we have.
Yeah.
And Achille means mind. Yeah. So it's mind and heart, which is what the best runner of all time says is the key to running performance, is get your mindset right and get your heart pumping at the right level.
Yeah.
Your legs will follow suit and keep you going. So we have that one that kicks off this year. It will be a team of about 8 runners, probably more in the marathon category that we're going to be running in.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found another sponsor that was more in the helping people side. And we've decided to make another project that kicks off in 2024 called Nazima Heart, which means whole heart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is a women-only team where we will have a combination of young, usually single mothers who have shown promising aptitudes in running, but because of their pregnancy and because of their financial situation, they couldn't get back into running again. So what we're doing is that we're actually giving them the chance to get it back into professional running. So we provide a roof, we provide food, we provide a place that their children can be in. We help them with the school fees for the children when that's the case. We give them coaching, we give them fitness, we give them a massage, and we hope that within that 12-month period, they can actually come and become Kenyan commercial runners, either again or for the first time. We decided that we will also add on a feature to have young women who are basically coming out of high school, who we think have the aptitude to become good runners, but financially they're in need, so they need the support. Yeah. And so we'll add these young ladies into the group as well. So that's kicking off right now. I must say I find it really exciting because this is going from discovery. We think that these ladies have it, but if you want to become a good runner, you've got to test yourself,
yeah,
see if your body is resisting to injury, see if your mind can actually take getting out of bed 6 times a week and doing what is pretty gruesome athletic demanding runs.
Yeah. But what is fascinating, it's not just impacting their own lives, it's impacting their family's life and it's impacting their whole village sometimes where they come back. And what I've seen, I'm not sure if that's true, all the money they earn while they're running is not for them to be rich and be famous, it's they give that back to their where they come from. Is that the same in what you have seen?
Oh, absolutely. In Kenya, religion and family are really, really strong. So they live a little bit in the fear of God, but also in the belief that God's plan is what's going to provide for them and help them in where they go.
Mm.
And when they make money, the family will expect to get some benefits out of it as well. So it's also one of the main motivators for what I'm doing, because
yeah,
you know, we tend to see Africans not always being able to fend for a living.
Yeah.
Here they've got this talent that can actually make them earn some good money and provide and also uplift the impression of Africa as well. When you meet these people, they're just, you know, super humble, fantastic, hardworking athletes.
Yeah. Did I understand you right? 2 running teams with different runners in it? How many?
So we've got 3 running teams. We've got Braveheart runners, Achille Heart runners, and Zima Heart runners. And the way that we do it is that for the professional runners, that's Braveheart runners and Achille Heart runners,
yeah,
we actually let them run with a team of their choice. But in order to know what they're up to and what they're doing, we give them a smartwatch and we record all of their runs in Strava.
Yeah.
So I can actually see on a daily basis what they're up to, because in winter there's a 2-hour time difference. When I wake up in the morning, the first thing that I do is I go on Strava and I see what the runners have actually been doing and what they've been up to.
That's fascinating, because when I started triathlon with the coach, he was also coaching me on distance and he was always checking my runs. Literally, like you said, and this technology is so far already. You see the heart rate, you see the steps, you see everything.
Yeah, so that's one of the things that, you know, we've been trying to work on with the athletes, is to say, let's try to see if we can use modern tech to uplift who you are. So
yeah,
I think initially they're a little bit dubious about showing their runs on Strava and letting other people see it.
Yeah.
I think they're okay with that today. I see some of the runners have hundreds of followers, you know,
because
it's cool to follow, a Kenyan athlete and see what they're actually up to and how far they're running. And the other thing that we've done with the athletes, because they're, we're trying to get them branded with equipment providers that brand them.
Yeah.
We try to teach them how to build up their profiles on social media, so that they don't put, rubbish pictures, and they don't put inappropriate pictures. They put pictures that they will be proud of in 5 years' time.
Yeah.
And people will be coming back to say, "Ooh, this person is really special."
Yeah.
Maybe. We can give that individual a shoe contract or a dress contract or whatever as we go along.
Yeah. So, talking about the runners, is there one story where you said, "Oh, this was really interesting"?
I took some runners to Italy last November.
Mm.
This was the first time that they ever got in a plane. This was the every time, of course, that they had been into Europe, and this was the first time that they experienced running at sea level. Yeah. And so then, the jury is out to say, well, how much are you going to improve your time by?
Yeah.
And these guys came to Italy with times of, say, 63, maybe even 64 on the half marathon side.
Yeah.
And on the day, they only came in fourth, fifth, and sixth, because there was a very strong pack that day.
Yeah.
But number six beat the course record.
Wow.
Yeah. So
all of them, literally.
All of them came in, and they came in, one came in 60, 40 something,
yeah.
One came in 61.04, one came in 61.30, but they came, they went away as, basically any Kenyan runner, and they came back as confirmed half marathoners that people will be attracted to take on again in the future.
Yeah, how was it them coming back after that experience and telling the stories to their families?
You could feel a sense of pride. We actually had a professional photographer there that day as well, so we had some beautiful pictures of them. And the twinkle in their eye after the race, the twinkle in the eye once they got back home, it's a life-changing experience.
Yeah. For them, was the time super important, or more being on that journey and seeing that they're capable and they have proven themselves?
Well, it's an experience, right? So it's, one is getting on a plane, spending a night on a plane, two nights before you actually run, getting the rest before it, coming to Italy, they have down jackets, but they slept in their down jackets. They couldn't take the cold and the humidity and so forth. They were complaining a little bit about that. And then the actual, on race day, then they performed in line better than expectations. It's something that will stay with them for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
And one of those guys came back, and because his social media was up to the right level, because his running was up to the right level, because he was, very humble, nice guy, he actually left us in January, but he left us to go and run with the Alabama University, which is one of the big sports universities in the US, and he got a running scholarship to run with them. So his life has taken a completely different course in a period of 12, 13 months with us.
And that, I believe that's something you can be incredibly proud of, that helping someone going, even if they're leaving your team, I think it's...
Yeah, so we've kind of said we're probably not good enough to keep the athletes if they get up to top level. One of the bigger brands will probably come and take them and so forth. But if we can help them to get on their way and get recognized, then I think that it's really good for us here.
Yeah.
It's what we set out to do. We want to help the runners. We want to help them develop. We want to make them into commercially viable people.
Yeah. Where do you think running is right now compared to other sports? And as well, where is it going, and what does it make to society and to us as individuals?
So I think that running is at the beginning of a new era. Maybe I'm wrong, but maybe I'm right. What I am seeing right now is that every city in the world is trying to create, improve, or grow their running activities.
Yeah.
It usually goes through some kind of endurance, more than 20K, and maybe marathon, maybe even longer. And I think that's very promising for running in the future. If this social running can actually grow, then I think it's something that will be very good for running in general. So what will happen is that sponsors will get more interested in running over time because it's just growing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you will start to see that the recognition of an athlete is going to improve, and the overall condition of an athlete's running and training conditions will improve, especially in Africa where you have the best endurance runners in the world.
Speaking about sponsors, what kind of sponsors are you still looking for? What are the companies that you would be interested to work with, or industries you would like to work with?
Yeah, I want to be different, and I want to do something that others haven't done so much.
Yeah.
So on top of working with equipment suppliers in the sports industry, I'd like to try
the
to...
obvious
one. Yeah, that's the
yeah.
obvious one.
Yeah.
But I'd like to try to work with corporates who are presently not in the running business, who could promote their products through running.
Mm.
And in that sense, then I think anybody to do with the health business is good.
Yeah.
Anybody who is wanting to promote the benefits of Africa is good. Anybody who wants to try to just create a story around people and improving their lives. So,
yeah.
Sometimes, because I live in Europe and there are a lot of discussions around immigration, and there are still a lot of people in Africa who think that the best thing is to go and live in Europe. What I would like to promote is that we actually create some really good jobs and opportunities in Africa,
yeah.
And we try to communicate to our African friends that your home is here, and this is where you actually feel at home. This is where your culture is the same, and so build your future in Africa,
yeah.
And make Africa proud of you.
Yeah. Looking ahead, where do you think Brave Farm will be in 5 to 10 years?
So I think in 5 years, the aim is to be recognized as a professional running group, but it's to be recognized as a professional running group that has a heart and does things differently. I want to build a reputation of somebody who has taken care of the athletes in a good way, that we've focused on changing lives, that we've brought more than just winning and running races to the athletes that we're actually working with.
Yeah. Anything we have forgotten which you still would like to mention?
Why is it that a soccer player makes so much money?
Mm.
Why is it that an ice hockey player or a Formula One driver or a basketball player is so well taken care of and so forth? And yet today in the running world, when I go into Africa, some of these runners don't have enough money to provide for proper food. They don't have proper training conditions.
Yeah.
Their hydration is awful. They're sleeping in really precarious places. So what I'm saying is let's give running a chance, and the way to actually try to get a feeling for what's going to happen in the future is I challenge everyone to switch on the television at once when one of these big marathons is taking place and just get a feeling for how exciting it is to watch a marathon take place at the same time. You have the male elite running team running together, you've got the females running together, you've got national heroes running together, and you've got all of these thousands of people out in the streets together, and just try to catch the vibe. I'm just hoping that running will take off one day.
Yeah. I mean, running is a sport that brings people together. It's an opportunity to enable people to experience things together, and like you said, it's a commercial opportunity for businesses.
Yeah. Well, I mean, tell me, of another sport that you can do from anywhere with basically
nothing,
just a pair of shoes.
Yeah, exactly.
And that you can do it from the age of 3 all the way up to the age of 90 if your body's still willing,
yeah,
to do it. And you can do it competitively like the elites, but you can do it just for your well-being, mind and health. So
yeah.
It's a fantastic opportunity. I think there's more to come. And I think the other thing to watch in running is that we're looking at a variety of different races. So, these 1 mile races are starting to take off in,
yeah,
some places. 5 kilometer races are just starting to become really trendy. But there's a race in Switzerland where I live that does 360 kilometers in one shot with more than 10,000 meters in climbing. So yeah, there's everything in between that you can do in there. There's something for everyone, basically, in the way that you do it. You can do it with your family, you can do it with your kids, you can do it alone, you can do it competitively, you can do it just for the sake of doing it. So everything goes.
Alistair, thank you very much for coming to the Netherlands for this interview. It was a pleasure meeting you again.
Thank you. A pleasure meeting you. And I'd just like to end with our slogan for 2024. Come, join us. The best is still to come.